Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. When California Governor Gavin Newsom made a reference to the graying of California in his State of the State address, he said, quote, "We need to get ready for the major demographic challenge headed our way." And then he added, "Growing old knows no boundaries. Aging doesn't care what race you are, your economic status, or if you're single with no other family support." So it is a point of fact that seniors are the fastest growing age group in the state. And to explore this further, Cap Radio has launched a new California Dream series called Graying California. This is a statewide project with several public radio stations and CalMatters. So here's CalMatters data and housing reporter Matt Levin to set the stage.
California is not ready for this. Advocacy groups like AARP California say the issue is getting much more attention than it's gotten in years past. Governor Gavin Newsom has called for a master plan on aging, similar to the master plan on higher education that was devised decades ago. And the legislature is working on that right now. But you talk to experts and the consensus is pretty clear. Our healthcare systems, our transportation systems, our infrastructure in general was designed for a much younger California. And we are simply not that young anymore.
That's Matt Levin, and he goes on to talk about the numbers in detail.
We have about 6 million Californians currently over the age of 65. That's a really big number. That's more than the entire population of Oregon. And it's only projected to grow pretty dramatically. By 2030, we're projected to have 9 million seniors. One out of every five Californians will be a senior by then. That's a higher proportion of seniors than what currently exists in Florida, which is a state pretty much synonymous with retirees.
Matt says there's one group in particular that's dominating this graying part of the population.
California was one of the greatest generation's favorite places to have kids. Now those baby boomers, that generation born after World War II and into the 1960s, are entering their golden years. And it's not just old white people, which I think is the stereotype that a lot of people have in mind in terms of California seniors. About 60% of California seniors are white, but that's changing. Within a decade, California seniors will be majority minority, which mirrors the rest of the state.
That's CalMatters data and housing reporter Matt Levin. So who exactly are these graying Californians? That's the question our reporters have taken on, and I'm joined by Cap Radio's food and sustainability reporter, Julia Mitrich.
Good to be here.
And our healthcare reporter, Sammy Kaola, is here too. Hi, Sammy.
Good morning, Beth.
Glad to have you here. So you both have produced stories for the series. Sammy, let's start with you, and let's talk about the main character that you've profiled.
Sure. So I talked to a man named Cliff Shockney. He's 72, a pianist, kind of a quiet type, and he lives alone because he lost his partner. So him and Tony had both moved to California to try to live more freely and comfortably as gay men. They were together for 29 years, but in 2011, Tony died of liver cancer after living with HIV and AIDS for decades. So it was a huge turn in Cliff's life. And, you know, he still lives in their house, which is really beautiful. It's in a suburban Sacramento neighborhood. It's full of art that they collected together. It's got a huge piano in the living room. And they used to host a lot of parties there, and they used to go on a lot of trips together. And so Cliff is now in this place where he's just, you know, not really sure what the rest of his days look like at 72. And he's not sure who's going to take care of him when he gets older, if his health changes, if he becomes, you know, unable to take care of himself. And, you know, isolation is a big problem for him. He says he does have a lot of friends, but it's not the same as having someone who's your rock, your companion. And when he's gone out to bars or clubs to try to meet people, he says he just feels kind of out of place. And here's how he describes it.
In general, in the gay community, there traditionally has been an emphasis on being young and attractive and sexually active. Older people were just kind of invisible. They weren't viewed as sex objects. And so you find yourself older and kind of marginalized. And if you don't get out there and do something, it's real easy to just stay in your own little world.
So that's why he's tried to go out of his way to find social groups that are explicitly for LGBT seniors, because he's trying to find, A, friends, but also a romantic companion. And he says it's been hard to make those deep connections this late in life.
I think loneliness in this age group is a standard challenge and
Definitely.
Battle, perhaps. Let's talk about some of the other challenges for the way he identifies his social circle to be. And could an LGBTQ-friendly senior living facility help? Does that even exist yet?
So a few of them do across the state. I've talked to a lot of experts and advocates who say that we need more because you're ending up with a lot of LGBTQ people who didn't marry or didn't have children because there were barriers to doing that, you know, just discrimination and legal barriers. And they maybe recently came out of the closet after decades and they've been through a lot of stress and trauma just from living kind of a tough life. Mm. And, you know, they want to be around people who have similar experiences. And they're not necessarily comfortable in nursing homes or assisted living facilities. One survey from AARP found that more than half of LGBTQ people over 45 said they'd have to hide their identities to safely access senior living facilities. So they'd basically have to go back into the closet.
More than half said that.
More than half said that. Mm. So, you know, they're really not wanting to be in those kind of catch-all senior living facilities. I talked to Marcy Edelman. She's a psychologist and a housing advocate. And part of what she does is she goes around to nursing homes and she offers trainings on how to better care for LGBTQ patients. And she says that the staff are just not always sensitive to these patients' needs.
They may not use the pronouns that that person prefers, or what kind of roommate, or so to respect and help LGBT seniors feel safe and comfortable, so they can just focus on their health and getting well. You need to have people that are caring for them understand who they are and how best to take care of them.
So Beth, you asked if these exist, and there is one in San Francisco that I actually had a chance to visit. Mm. It's sort of an LGBT senior apartment building. And the day that I went, they were having a transgender elder lunch. Mm. So these are older people who transition genders, some of them early in life, some of them quite late in life. And, you know, a lot of them were sort of political activists in the 70s. So when I was there at lunch, they were kind of trading war stories. Some of them were complaining about discrimination that they face when they walk around in the world. And it was just neat to see that sense of camaraderie. And so people like Marcy are really pushing for more of that. And it's not just a social thing. They've got unique medical needs, too. There are people who were diagnosed with HIV decades ago and were on some really strong antiretroviral medications, you know, in the early days before those drugs were made a little safer. And so they're having some side effects now that, you know, people weren't expecting. This is sort of the first generation to live with HIV for that long. And also people who are transitioning genders require special medical care too. And if senior living facilities aren't trained to administer those types of medications, you can run into problems. So, you know, I think the point being when California is mapping out its plan for aging, LGBTQ advocates are saying you need to take this group into special consideration.
It does get us to that conversation about the spectrum between surviving and thriving. You know, where is your quality of life really full? And I keep coming back to the word vibrant, which isn't a given at this stage of life.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's not just about making it that far. It's about, yeah, having some dignity and some joy.
I think the goal in this series is to show many different examples of people who are moving into this graying of California. So thank you, Sammy. I'm going to point people to the website for a fuller version of the story and more stories ahead.
Thanks, Beth.
That was Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kaola. You're listening to Insight, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about a new series called Graying California and California's aging population. Cap Radio's food and sustainability reporter, Julia Mitrich, is also in the studio with me. And your reporting, Julia, took us in a different direction. You went to the Sierra foothills of Nevada County, and there are two main characters in your story.
That's right. Yeah, I drove up to Nevada City, a place that I had actually never been, believe it or not, to visit River Hill Farm, which is a really unusual farm. It's a beautiful place tucked right below a really steep ridge in the Sierra foothills where you wouldn't expect a farm to be. So you sort of come upon it. And that's where I met Alan Haight and his wife and farming partner, Joe McProud. And they both came to farming as a second career in their 40s. And they founded the farm in 2001. And back then, I mean, this is hard for us to believe now, but at that time and in that county, it wasn't a thing to say, oh, I have a local organic farm in my neighborhood. You know, that wasn't like a status symbol. Now, in a lot of parts of California, of course, it is. But at that time, they grew this business selling organic veggies and fruit, mostly to folks in Nevada City. And now Joe and Alan are both 62. And they are part of a huge generational wave of farmers that is aging out of the fields. Mm. And, you know, the USDA just came out with its once every 5 years ag census, and they found that the average age of California farmers crept up to 59. Hmm. And that compares with a national average of 57. So this is a California thing. This is a U.S. thing in terms of the people who grow our food. And there are huge changes unfolding in this population. They face really big choices about how to handle their farm as they age out of the fields. And for this couple, I mean, sustainable farming is just their vocation, their passion, and you can hear it in their voices. So let's hear Alan, who's standing out in the fields of River Hill Farm. And he told me, even with his eyes closed, he knows the farm by heart.
I internalized this whole place. I know every change in the pitch of the ground. I know where the best soil is. I know where the outcroppings are. I know where the buried rocks are that are too big to move that I avoid hitting with the tractor.
And that's Alan. He's very poetical about his place.
I think there's the same sort of quality as the character in Sammy's story, Cliff, sort of mm-hmm. a reflective and mm-hmm. kind of encompassing look at life.
Yes, exactly. And maybe they're both artists in their own way. And Alan says from the very beginning when he started this farm, I mean, he was always thinking about what will happen to this farm beyond my ability to farm mm-hmm. it. First of all, because no one in his family no younger generation is planning on joining. This was his passion project, right? So this farm is just, you know, an idyllic place. But of course, like most farms, it takes a grueling level of physical labor to keep it running, never ending, planting, weeding, watering, running the farmer's market. And as Joe McProud points out, Alan's wife and farming partner, they were able to keep their stamina up through their 40s and 50s. But then, you know, as they approached their 60s, the sleep deprivation, the wear and tear caught up with them as they pushed towards 60. And now what do they do with this farm they created when no one else is planning to take it on? Here's Joe McProud.
One of the worst outcomes would have been that we just had to keep going beyond our ability to do it. And worked ourselves into the ground, into an early grave, or couldn't find someone and just had to close the farm. And that's happened in California, sadly. A farmer can't create a workable succession, and they can't continue physically or financially or to keep farming, and so the farm goes out of business.
So what did they do?
Well, they faced some complex choices. You know, an expert I spoke with said of the 300 farming families he's worked with on farm succession over the last 40 years, no two are alike. There is no cookie cutter formula for solving this because every farm is different. Every right. family is different. The economy is different in each place. You could have multiple generations at this point involved in decision making about the farm. You could have somebody in their 80s, somebody in their 50s, and somebody in their 30s, all with different financial needs and divergent visions mm-hmm. for what to do next, right? Like every generation. And then for Joe and Alan and sustainable farmers that I've interviewed all across California, there's another layer to this, which is sustainable farming is a long game. It's a practice that you do over years and years to improve the soil. And you want to find a successor who's willing and able, knowledgeable enough to take the reins take those reins on and continue those farming practices. And so the next person needs to have that knowledge and the willingness. And Alan Haight calls it his legacy, you know, their legacy. And so they were lucky, they were fortunate to meet Antonio Garza. He was he had been farm manager at Soilborne Farms in Sacramento here, and he was 7 years into his farming career, really ready to run his own farm. And his dilemma was he couldn't afford to lease or buy land in California, which is a problem that many first-generation farms. So it was kind of a great marriage of the two. Joe and Alan still needed to draw income from their retirement. Antonio wanted to start farming on his own, and so now, through California FarmLink, an organization that works precisely on these issues, they found a way that Antonio basically is now the day-to-day operator of the farm, and he inherits that business that Joe and Alan developed. And in return, Alan and Joe get to stay on the farm, and they draw an income by getting a monthly rent from Antonio. So it's really, you know, it's really ideal. And it sounds very niche, like this tiny farm in Nevada City, but from the farm succession experts that I spoke with, this is actually, these are the kinds of arrangements that people are coming up with, trying to figure out how to split the farm, the value of the farm, the economic value of the farm, in a way that the retiring farmer or couple can stay where they want to live, right? They want to be there. And so now they're all pretty happy about it. And you've got this younger couple, Antonio and his partner, who works part-time on the farm, and the retired couple all living on the farm. And Joe and Alan are pretty excited about planning road trips and seeing their grandchild who was just born. And they get to look out the window on a winter morning and see Antonio and Dalen, you know, harvesting the veggies. And they can sort of enjoy the farm without being tied to the day-to-day labor of it.
It is interesting how that light bulb goes on that says, start figuring out this last stretch of life between maybe second and third base and home plate. What's that picture going to look like? And then when there is a picture, I think the sense of relief. And Sammy, don't you think Cliff will feel that too, that that's really important to lock in the formula so that he can feel some peace in his life?
Yeah, absolutely. He's still trying to form his plan and who's going to be the people to take care of him. But I think when he figures that out, he'll feel a lot better.
Which is exactly what, as you're saying, Julia, they all look out the window and see in each other up on the farm.
That's right. And sometimes as people who might not be aging out of our professions at this very moment, we forget. I mean, people want to continue to have a meaningful, full life, regardless of what's happening to their body. We will all want to have meaning and community as we age. And so we're figuring it out for this generation of Californians, but we're really figuring it out for everyone.
That was said very succinctly, by the way. Cap Radio's food and sustainability reporter, Julia Mietrich. Thank you, Julia. And Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kaola. Thank you, Sammy.
Thanks, Beth.
So their reporting is part of the California Dream Project series, Graying California. All the stories in this series, plus full-length interviews and photos, can be found at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.